Good morning, happy Sabbath. Everybody can hear me pretty good? All right. Before I start, let me open us up with another small prayer. So let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for another opportunity for us to come together and worship you today. I pray that hearts and minds shall be open to receive the word that you gave me first to share with them. Lord, I pray that they not see me, but see you speaking through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't want to take up too much of y'all time this morning. I want everybody to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 18. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. When you have it, say amen. Just let me know so I won't leave anybody behind. All right, so just quick background. God just got finished speaking the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. You know, it's interesting. What time of the year is it? It's what time? It's Christmas time, right? It's interesting that the same God who spoke the Ten Commandments had to relearn those same Ten Commandments on Mary's knee while she was raising him up. It's really something to think about. She had to say, Jesus, let me teach you commandment number one, commandment number two. So as we go into this, I want you to think about something. It is the Christmas season, and we want to keep in mind that Christ came for a reason. But sometimes we never really think about what he went through to get here. All right, so with that being said, Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, listen to this. And it says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. Because you know, when God gave the Ten Commandments, he made a big show about it. He said, I'm going to let y'all know this thing is serious. Not only did God write the Ten Commandments himself, church, but he also personally spoke it to Israel. So when Moses came down on top of the mountain and said, hey guys, look, I got 10 laws from God. No, Moses, you wrote that. No, God says, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell everybody personally myself, just in case they try to say you made something up. Verse 19, and listen to this. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let God speak with us. But let you speak, let not God speak with us, lest we die. What did God just get finished doing for the children of Israel? He just saved them from what? Why do they think that God wants to kill them? God just got finished saving them. Why do they think I'm going to die if I continue to be with God? See, think about this conversation. Something's not right about this conversation. Verse 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. That's why God want to talk to you guys personally. Verse 21, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. You know, it's interesting. Raise your hand if you ever wanted God to speak to you personally. Is this scripture not weird to y'all? Why would somebody not want God to speak to them personally? I've gone through some rough times in my life. I've asked God, God, if you don't say nothing, just let me feel your hand on my back to let me know that you are there. But right here, these people have the nerve to say, I don't want to deal with God directly. How many of us, our prayer lives are like that? I do some study and I go to church, but I don't really pray often as I should. How about this? After God saves you, you keep God at a distance. All right? God just saved you, but you keep him at a distance. Notice it says the people stood afar off from God. But it said Moses said, no, I want something better. I want to draw closer to him. That's interesting, right? Salvation is a what? Individual choice. Amen? Verse 23. You shall not make with me. So listen, so after the Ten Commandments, God said something to Moses when he comes into the darkness, into the cloud. He says, you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make gods of gold. I think Moses said, God, I think we covered that in one of the Ten Commandments already. Why are you repeating this? Why are you mentioning this again? But we're going to come back to it. God just all of a sudden, when Moses came in, he said, Moses, remember, don't make gods of gold and don't make gods of silver. Now, everybody listen carefully to this next part. Exodus, appreciate sight. Exodus 20, verse 24. Listen to these three things that God has told Moses in this cloud to tell everybody else. God says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings and thy sheep and thine oxen and all the places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. God says, when you build me an altar, you can make an altar out of what, church?
Earth.
Earth. What is earth?
Dirt.
Nope, dirt. That's a very expensive product. God says, when you make me an altar, you can make it out of dirt. So let's think for a minute. In the Bible, where's the first place we kind of read about God and dirt? Oh, that's interesting. So, pop quiz. When God created everything else but man, what was the difference? Say it again, Kenny. God said, let there be lions, let there be birds, let there be bugs, let there be a moon, let there be a sun. But when he got to man, the Bible says he rolled up his sleeves. The Bible says he got down in the dirt. What does this mean? Is this impersonal or personal? This is personal, right? Worship should be very what?
Personal.
So it says he got down in the dirt, right? And the Bible says he formed man. He formed man. He personally took his time to form man. What's another difference between us and the animals? We are created in God's what? That's why we are bound by his law. That's why a lion can go out there and kill some lamb chops. He's okay. It's lawful for him to do that. You and me can't go and bust somebody else over the head. We can't do that. We are bound by his law because we are created in his image. Here's something else interesting. Dirt is an expensive or inexpensive material?
Inexpensive.
Can everybody get access to dirt?
Yep.
So is God saying, I'm accessible to everybody? Yeah. Everybody can get a hold of dirt, right? So if I can get a hold of dirt, I have access to who? Yeah. To God. God didn't tell me to go empty my bank account. He didn't tell me to go do all that stuff. He said, I'm very accessible. When you make an altar for me out of dirt. Y'all know there are different types of sacrifices in the Bible. Probably never looked at it. You got burnt offering, you got peace offering, you got meat offering, you got this offering, you got that offering, all that stuff. People say, that stuff don't make any sense. Do you know when you took a burnt offering, you took your lamb, slapped your lamb on the altar, cut the lamb's throat, you set him on fire. What is that called? A burnt offering. You know what a burnt offering meant in the Bible? It means you dedicated your entire life to God, and it means that you were going to burn up all the sin in your life. You're going to let God have all the sin in your life. So as I come to an accessible God, he lets me know that I can dedicate my life to him and that he will take care of my sins. You know in the Bible it says so-and-so brought a peace offering, so-and-so brought a priest offering. Guess what the difference with that one was? Slap my lamb on the altar. Cut the lamb's throat, cooked some of the lamb, and then I took a part of it, and I, what does that mean? What did I do? I just ate it. Wait a minute. I think Saeed said it earlier. Does knowing about being healthy do you any good, or do you have to actually eat the healthful food for it to benefit you? I think that's what Saeed said, right? Jesus must actually become, the lamb that you just caused to die, must actually become a part of your life for you to benefit from it. Guess what else? The priest also went over there. He put his barbecue sauce on there. He took some of your sacrifice, and guess what he did? He walked into the temple with it. What does that represent? Christ took on our nature and our flesh and walked into heaven before the Father. Oh, but you know, that stuff is boring. We don't pay it no attention. But listen, but God says, if you build an altar, you can make it out of dirt. All of you have access to dirt. None of you have to worry about not being able to reach me. I'll take care of all your lives. And guess what a peace offering also meant? If Jesus is now a part of my life, I should have his what? His peace. My peace I leave unto you. My peace I give you. But you only get that peace is if you actually a part of your life. It's interesting, right? Side note. Let's say you was dirt poor, and let's say you didn't have anything. What could you bring to the altar then? Does anybody know? What if you was too poor to bring turtle doves? You know, those are little birds. You can catch a bird. What if you couldn't bring turtle doves? What could you bring? Let me tell you, the Bible says if you actually reached into your flower pot and took flour in your hand, the Bible says you could bring flour to the temple as your sacrifice. Well, Brother Perry, that don't make any sense. Flour, what do you make with flour? You make what? Who said they're the bread of life? Even if you didn't have an animal, folks, God made it where, regardless of your financial situation, regardless of where you are from, everybody has access to bread. Everybody can access flour. You could bring that to my temple, and you and me can still work things out in your life. Amen? Now, y'all got the first part, right? God told Moses, when you come to me, make me an altar of what? Earth. Let's go to number two. Exodus 20, 25. Listen to this. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. So, okay, so I can build my altar. I got a whole bunch of dirt. But now I want to make it using what? What does the Bible say? Stone. Let me ask y'all a question. Let's do a quick Bible study right quick. Jacob, everybody knows who Jacob is, right? What did Jacob go to sleep on when he had the dream about the ladder? How many of y'all can sleep on a rock? Nobody sleep on rocks in here? How does that even work? That is the definition of built different. Nobody ever said, I'm going to lay down on a rock and go to sleep. We lay down on sheets full of feathers. The Bible said he pulled stones together like, this is going to be so comfortable. I mean, but Jacob laid down on a stone and had a dream about a ladder that reached from earth to heaven. That's interesting. Let me ask y'all a question. There was a story in there about this kid, and he had a sling, and he took down a giant. What did he use to take down a giant?
A stone.
So when I got an enemy in my life, if I want to defeat that enemy, I need to use the stone. I wonder who's called the rock in the Bible. Moses, with all them millions of people were out in the desert. Moses, we thirsty. What does the Bible say Moses hit to get water? Moses punched a rock. When he punched a rock, water came out. Don't try that today. Say Moses hit a stone. Say water came out. Oh, Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says that everybody that gets to heaven, how many of you don't like your name? I'm not a big fan of my name. Not a fan of it. The Bible says when you get to heaven, it says Jesus is going to personally hand you a white stone. And inside of that stone, you're going to have a new name. The name that you are known by here, you will not be known by that name in heaven. You will actually introduce yourself to everybody else for the rest of eternity by your new name. White stone. New name. Is there somebody that's called a rock that recreates me and gives me a new name? It's pretty interesting how God laid the Bible out, right? What about prophecy? We got Daniel's dream, that big old statue flexing all the muscles like this, head of gold, arms of silver, thighs of brass, legs of what? Iron, feet of what? Iron and clay. What was that thing that bust the statue up? I think I'm starting to get this. Hold on, here's another question. What was special about that stone? Does anybody know what the Bible says about that stone that hit the statue? It was what? It was cut out. What? Wait a minute, what is rule number two when you make an altar? Don't use stones that you have what? You know what? You have nothing to do with your salvation. God says, when you build me an altar, you use dirt. You use rocks. Don't cut none of those rocks. Don't shake none of those rocks. Because I don't want you to say that, look at what I did to cause people or myself to be saved. You know what we do with our altars? We build our altar. Saeed, look at my altar, Saeed. Look, I'm going to write Terry on this stone. And watch this. I'm going to shake this one and make it look pretty. I'm going to put a heart on my stone for my wife. I'm just going to shake this one up. Guess what? What is the purpose of building an altar? You're supposed to build an altar to put what on top? What's the animal again? Sacrifice. A sacrifice, but specifically what animal? What happens when I make the altar pretty, but everybody's focus is supposed to be on the lamb? I get everybody else staring at the altar instead of staring at what the focus and purpose of the altar is. How about this? It's crazy, right? We're in a Seventh-day Adventist church, right? Does the Seventh-day Adventist church say... No. Y'all sure about that? No. Y'all are absolutely correct. Because guess what? The organization that you are part of did not die for you. And the organization that you are part of did not pay your debt towards God. So how does your organization who did not die for you and did not pay your debt cause you to have salvation? My name can be on the church list and not register in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Salvation is a what? Personal decision. I know guys today, I'm a part of Israel. I'm real Israel. Guess what? When Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus, he said, because Zacchaeus accepted me this day, salvation has come to his house. And he said, it came to everybody else's house. He said, it came to his house. You got to get it right with you and God. Y'all got to get squared away personally. Here's something else interesting, right? Everybody know who Herod is, right? Oh, Christmas story. What happened in the Christmas story? What did Herod do? He did one of the most inhumane things in the Bible. We call it infanticide. Infanticide is the mass killing of what? Babies. Who else committed infanticide in the Bible? Who? No, we're talking about Herod. Who else committed infanticide in the Bible? Mass killing of children. Huh? Pharaoh. Isn't it funny? There's this story in the Old Testament where this Savior is getting ready to be born of Israel called Moses, and a decree goes out to kill all children 2 years under. Then you get to the New Testament, and then there's another story about this Savior getting ready to be born for the world, and a decree goes out to kill all children 2 years and under. Is that coincidence? But you know what? Some of us are like Herod. You know, history says Herod spent 50 years building up the Jewish temple. But he took a couple days to try to kill every child that might be Christ. Let me put it simply. I'm all about the church, but I block people from seeing Jesus. Are we like Herod? Is my personal altar drawing a lot of attention to me? Do you see more of me, than do you see of God? This is a very interesting conversation between God and Moses, isn't it? Last part. Exodus 20:26, about to be done. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered there. Ooh, the Bible talk about nakedness? If I'm naked, what does that mean? I don't have no what on. Y'all sure about that, right? I think everybody knows. Nakedness means there are no clothes on me. So, y'all wanna talk about some more stories? What's one of the first stories that come to mind about somebody being naked? Garden of Eden. Okay, let's take a look at the story. Adam and Eve ate off the tree. The Bible says when they ate, what does it say they noticed? They became what? Naked. When God came, what did they do? What did Adam say when God asked him where he was? Say it again. I was naked.
He told God he was naked.
And he hid. Let me ask you a question. Didn't Adam and Eve make clothes prior to God coming into the garden?
Yeah.
So why did Adam say I was naked? Did I just mess some of y'all up? He had a whole out. Eve had a whole outfit from fashion, the top fashion designers in the world. If any of y'all read the counsels and read the spirit of prophecy, Adam and Eve are very good at decorating. So I'm sure they look real nice in their attire. But it says Eve had some nice clothes on made of fig leaves. I'm sure Adam had some nice swim trunks on with some fig leaves. But why did they both say, I still feel naked? What did the Bible say God did with their clothes? He said, Adam, y'all look fabulous today in the garden. What did he say? The Bible says God took their clothes away from them and then gave them skins to wear. The stuff that you make for yourself to try to make yourself right before me does no good. The only way you get right with me is by covering yourself with the clothes that I can only give you. Next part, let me ask you a question. Y'all ain't gonna believe this story. Go with me to Mark 14. Mark 14, I want you to see something. We almost done, Mark 14. Let's start verse 50. Mark 14, verse 50. Look at this. When you have it, say amen. All right, Mark 14, verse 50. Listen to this. They came into the garden to get Jesus, right? And verse 50, does it say all the disciples stayed with him? It says what? Wow, I've been hanging with Jesus for 3.5 years. I've witnessed his entire ministry. I've told people about him. I've cast out demons. I fed 5,000. And when he needed me the most, I bailed on him. I don't remember seeing that scripture right there where they said, goodbye, Jesus. We'll holler at you later. Verse 51, look at this. And there followed with him a certain young man. We got a young man. Okay, got a young man. Having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold, and the young men laid hold on him. So there was this guy who was following Jesus, and he had his cloth on. But it said when they went to grab him, what's verse 52 says? That is a brother that did not care about the situation. Survival was his number one priority. The Bible says he left his clothes and ran away. What's that word? When I'm with Jesus, I'm covered. When things get tough and I don't want to hang with Jesus and I decide to leave him, I'm no longer covered by him. And now I'm what? Naked. Acts 19. Hey, I know there's a story in the Bible about this guy. He said, oh, I want to cast out demons. Y'all know about that story? And he went to go talk to the guy. And he said, the guy was possessed by a demon. He said, demon, come out of this person. Does anybody know what the demon said to the guy in that story? You know what? Let me take y'all there. We can go ahead right quick. Acts 19. Let's do Acts 19 right quick. Acts 19. I want you to see it. I don't want y'all to think I'm making this up. Acts 19, verse 11. I want you to see something. Bible's full of some pretty interesting stories. It says, Acts 19, verse 11. Everybody there? Watch this. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases parted from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, Paul was so powerful. The Bible says, if Paul left his handkerchief, I could take the handkerchief and throw it on top of a cripple, and that person was healed. It's funny, we don't talk about stuff like that. That's how much of the spirit and power Paul had with him. He was only the guy that wrote the entire New Testament. But listen to what the Bible says. Then certain of the vagabond of the Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, this guy who was an exorcist thought he could do what Paul and them did. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, and he which did so. Now, I want y'all to pay attention to this conversation that this demon had, all right? Pay very close attention in the Bible when demons talk, all right? And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Do demons have a sense of humor? People talking about they want to play around with spiritualism. Go ahead. They got a sense of humor, too. This demon literally had a conversation with this guy. First of all, he's like, first of all, brother, let me tell you something. You trying to cast me out right now. I know who Jesus is. I know who Paul is because he's causing me and my boss a whole lot of problems. I don't know who you are. I'm not gonna look at my Bible. I want y'all to tell me how petty that demon was. Tell me what the demon did to the guy. Read it. Tell me. What'd he do? What's the next verse say? He beat the man till he was what? How you beat somebody till they're naked? Wow. You ain't got Jesus, but you want to walk out your door every morning and think you're going to take on this world. The Bible says you don't fight against flesh and blood. You fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You don't walk out your house covered. You get stomped out naked. Y'all start to see what the Bible's saying? Nakedness is always associated with not being with who? Jesus. It's real interesting when you do a word study in the Bible. When you do a word study in the Bible, you come across all these interesting stories. Here's the other thing. That scripture in Exodus, it said we make an altar, don't make steps to go up the steps. Did everybody wear pants back in Bible days, or they wore long robes, right? What's the problem if you go up higher than me? Oh, I see you, Brother Kenny. Okay? When you go up steps, see, the altar wasn't meant to elevate you above your brother. You know what happens if I was to stay up here, I'm going to put a title on my name, pastor, elder, first deacon, evangelist, at number one, Seventh-day Adventist Church, Aiken, South Carolina. All of y'all sinners. Saeed and Monica, the biggest sinners in here. I don't like Kenny. I don't like nobody in here. If I had that type of attitude, see, what happens is when I elevate myself above y'all, y'all start to put a microscope on me. People start to watch you a little closer. Ooh, Brother Perry, your nakedness showing. I'm starting to see what you're really about. God says the purpose of the altars is not for you to uplift yourself above your brother or your sister to make you think that you are better than them. Because I guarantee you, what's one thing people love to do? Why arguments happen? You come up to me and tell me my problem. What's the first thing that come up my mouth? I tell you your problem. Why are relationships a challenge? Because in a relationship, when you really ain't into somebody, you can keep a mask on. They only see what you want them to see. But when you get close to somebody, that mask is removed. Why do you think people argue all the time in relationships? Because I see your problems and you see my problems and we finna go at it. Your nakedness shows. God said, don't elevate yourself on my altar and I can see everything that you have. But here's the thing. The Bible talks about, there was a story where this guy got drunk and he went to sleep. And the Bible said he was naked. Said he had three sons. Anybody know who this guy was? He built a big old boat out in the middle of nowhere. Noah. Bible said the Bible don't say how his clothes came off, but he was laying down naked. The Bible said one of his sons walked in the tent. hey, Jake, come check this out. Noah's shame was showing. Here's the interesting thing. The Bible says, if you pay attention and study that scripture, it says the other two sons grabbed two ends of a sheet and they walked backwards. And the Bible says they covered their father like this and made sure he was okay. When Noah woke up, he said, "Cursed be Shem. You will be a slave to your brethren." He picked at that man's nakedness. That's not something a Christian should do. when others are falling in their shame. It means you are a slave to sin. The other two brothers covered it. Do we cover other people's business or do we spread people's business? Do we poke fun at other people's business? What's the first thing the brother did? He went, oh, let me tell you what such and such did. Interesting, right? Bible has a lot of interesting ways to say some pretty interesting stuff. So I'm going to close it out with this. After this whole conversation that God had with him, everybody remember the story when Moses came down from the top of the mountain? It says Moses came down from the top of the mountain. What were the people down there doing? Gonna party like it's 1999. They were partying. Now look, I'm gonna end it on these scriptures. Go with me to Exodus 32. Finna end right now. Exodus 32. And I want y'all to see verse 6 and 7, and then we're going to go to the last few verses, and that's it. Everybody there, Exodus 32? Exodus 32, verses 6. Look at what the people did. And they rose up early on the morrow. Remember, Moses ain't coming out from the mountain yet. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. What did they build down at the bottom of the mountain? A golden what? They built a golden calf and they put burnt offerings on it. They said, I'm going to dedicate my life to this idol. And it says that they gave peace offerings. I find my peace in the idols and the other things in my life that bring me happiness outside of Jesus. Starting to see why God might have been a little angry. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto the people, no, he said unto Moses, I like God's sense of humor too. When God was speaking to Pharaoh, we talked about this before, when God was speaking to Moses, he said, go down to Pharaoh and tell him what? What's the words? Let my people go. What does he say in verse 7? Moses, get down for thy people. Them your people. Them my people. Remember we talked about this before last sermon. Can you imagine? Oh God, you got jokes now. Okay, they my people now, but they was your people over there. You see what I'm saying? God disowned them that quick. Remember my people. They ain't acting like me. Now watch this. Go to verse 21. This is how we do with excuses. Verse 21, everybody there? Who was the head chief left in charge down there? Aaron, right? Let's look at somebody who has wisdom and intelligence and a position of authority, one greatly responsible. Verse 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did these people do to you to make you act a fool? Verse 22, Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know these people, they are set on mischief. What did Aaron just do? He just threw everybody else up under the what? Notice Aaron didn't say himself. He said, yeah, you know Moses, you know what I'm saying? They be tripping. You know, just how we do when we get, what you do when you get in trouble? You act stupid, right? Say stupid stuff. For they said unto me, watch this, y'all gonna love this. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as is Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. Watch this. So they gave it to me, all the gold and stuff, and I threw it into the fire, and then this golden calf just walked on out and said, hey, Aaron. y'all think I'm lying? Isn't that what the Bible says right there, right? Yeah. Isn't that what the Bible says? Aaron said he threw the earrings and the gold in the fire, and then a golden calf came walking out. How y'all doing? Y'all knew God today. Y'all never caught that. That is a silly, nonsense, makes no sense excuse. He literally just told this to Moses, the guy that God was working through to perform all those miracles in Egypt. What was Aaron thinking about? He wasn't thinking. Here we go. Closing. Verse 25, listen to this very carefully. And when Moses saw that the people were what? Oh my goodness. Have you ever caught that? The people were completely naked when Moses came down at an unexpected time to the bottom of the mountain. Can you imagine, church, let's all imagine that we are naked and we are Israel and God just delivered us. And then Moses comes down and he got the Bert face look off Sesame Street looking at you while you down there playing, walking around. What is your reaction? Guess what? You try to cover your shame. When Jesus come back, what condition are y'all gonna be found in? Are you covered right now? Is he gonna find you naked? How about this? Christmas. How big of a party was happening when Jesus was born for his celebration? Oh, that's right, there was no party. Who were the only people on the planet that were given the prophecies about the Messiah coming? No, I don't know. All Israel, that whole Old Testament. The whole Old Testament. How long did they have it? For about 4,000 years. They had every rule, every prophecy to say when he was going to get here. Jesus came to a people that had prophecies about his coming, but the people were not ready when he showed up. That sound familiar, church? Yes. Are we a church? Or are we a people that we literally teach the second? You know, we have public evangelic programs that tell the world how Christ is going to come back, but are we ready? That's funny. Revelation says that we're the church of Laodicea. We are poor, miserable, what's that word? Wretched and, ooh. And what else? I'm lying. Y'all toes bloody? Like my toes was bloody this week when I was going over this lesson. Lord, why you hit me so hard, Lord? The only people that were ready were his family and those who had been diligent students of the scriptures. Only those who are in a personal relationship with Christ and those who have been trying to do their best to follow the light that they have were the only ones who were ready to meet Jesus when Christmas came. There ain't no way I'm coming down here to save all y'all, and y'all can't even get me a hotel room when I get here. Ask yourself that question. If you was Jesus, what y'all would have did everybody on the planet? It would have been a timeout right then and there for the entire universe. I done gone from them luscious pillows and all them angels in heaven, and y'all got me down here sleeping up under a cow. Ain't no way. There is no way I'm treated like this. Then again, that is what I leave everybody with as you go into the holiday season. We always talk about the Christmas story. We always talk about all the other stuff that's going on. But do we ever really take in consideration and think about what Christ has done for us? Everybody that comes into this world is born naked. But I can tell you a story about a guy who, when he was on the cross, folks, they didn't cover people when they were on the cross. You were naked when you were crucified. But he is the only person in the history of this world that does not need to be covered, but he is willing to cover everybody else. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we want to thank you for this time in which we have to come together and spend time with you. We ask you, Lord, that you'll be with us as we go to our various destinations and spend time with our families. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have done for us, and we ask that you be with us until we meet here again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.